Welcome to Tahoe Project.
I'm your host, Michelle Sweeney, and today our interview is with Alan Biaggi, longtime Nevada native, and much more. I'm going to ask you, Alan, this morning to tell us a bit about yourself and the spectrum of things that you've been involved with here at Tahoe and in Nevada.
Well, thanks, Michelle, and thanks for inviting me today. As you indicated, I'm a longtime Nevada resident, actually, growing up in the Minden and Gardnerville area. I'm a third generation Nevadan. My grandparents immigrated here from southern Switzerland right around the turn of the century. I was educated at the University of Nevada, Reno, and got a degree in hydrology, and started an internship when I was still in my teens with the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. And I really found my calling in water quality and in environmental protection. And over the years, I managed to work myself through that process, working in a variety of programs within the Division of Environmental Protection in water quality, air quality, waste management, through the ranks, and ultimately became its administrator. And one of the things that I did throughout my tenure in environmental protection was working at Tahoe. And it was always an incredible experience to work here, not only because of the physical beauty of it, but also because of much of the social aspects of it, the politics, some of the conflict that's up here, was always very interesting to me. And it was always enjoyable to work here. After my tenure at Environmental Protection, I was very lucky to be promoted to the director of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, which comes with it a seat on the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency board. The two predecessors before me had decided not to sit on the board themselves and actually appointed others to do that for them. Roland Westergaard, who was actually three before me, sat on the board, and I know he enjoyed it and was a great asset. So because of my water background and my interest in Lake Tahoe, I decided to take that role and responsibility on myself. And so I was lucky enough to serve on TRPA for 6 years. And due to a variety of circumstances, I served 3 years as its chairman during that six-year stint. So again, I really enjoyed working at Tahoe. I enjoyed working on the TRPA board. All of the various issues, all of the various interests, and the people who sat on the board were an inspiration to me, and it was great interest and great fun. And one of the things I learned very early on was that everyone on that board had a tremendous love for Lake Tahoe and wanted to do the right thing by the lake. Sometimes we just had various differences and approaches, but always I think there was the desire to preserve and protect Lake Tahoe.
So now here we are. You've been 2 years in retirement, is that right?
That's right.
And what are you undertaking in your free time you've now discovered? What are some of the things you're doing?
Well, I have opened a natural resource consulting firm, which I've got a couple of clients that I try and work about half-time with. None of those clients right now are in the Tahoe Basin. They're elsewhere in Nevada. But that does allow me the time to pursue my other interests, which include skiing in the winter, bicycling in the summer, doing a lot of hiking, and just enjoying life after 31 years in state service.
So you said three generations in basically the northern Nevada area, because mm-hmm. your family, when they immigrated three generations ago, did they come directly to what we now think of as Douglas County?
They did. They were a ranching family in Switzerland and became a ranching family in Douglas County. And, you know, the similarities are there. You know, Douglas County in the eastern side of the Sierra does have some similarities to Switzerland. It's certainly much drier, but it is a ranching community. There's cows. In those days, there was a lot of dairy farming, as there was in Switzerland. And so they came over and I think saw the similarities and settled down in the valley.
And there was a whole community of people that were doing that, right? I mean,
there was, you know, it was a kind of an eclectic mix, kind of a United Nations of communities in Carson Valley in those days, which is just, you know, 11 miles from Lake Tahoe. There was a number of Swiss people who came over. There was a lot of Germans. There were some Dutch. And then, of course, the Basque people came in with sheep herding and those kinds of things. So I was lucky enough to grow up with all those people. They were all my friends, all the old-time names there. But, you know, much of them were first, second, third generation immigrants. And it was just a great place to grow up and, you know, just a great community.
Interesting. The reason I'm asking you about that and, you know, this time where obviously you weren't born, but the cultures transpire through generations and are very evident in the Eastern Sierra. I'm just wondering, in terms of contemporary issues and how Northern Nevada and Tahoe as part of Northern Nevada approaches problem solving, the environment, just a cultural, from a cultural vantage point, what you saw as highlights, issues over your 30-year career working in the environmental sector. What are some really salient points that came up in Northern Nevada that resonated through the Tahoe landscape?
Well, I think water quality was by far the largest. You know, Nevada is the most arid state in the Union. And so Nevada had a, interestingly, very progressive and very aggressive water pollution control law that protected not only surface waters but also groundwaters. And, of course, probably the most important, one of the most important water bodies in the state of Nevada is our one-third of Lake Tahoe. And so it was always, a lot of our work was here in the Tahoe Basin throughout my career. It would kind of ebb and flow. Sometimes there'd be more activity like Tahoe, sometimes less. But there was a saying that we had oftentimes there was all Tahoe all the time, because it seems so much of our time was being spent here. One of the really important things I think that happened, it was probably in the 90s, maybe a little bit before, probably in the 90s. Pam Wilcox, who used to be the head of state lands, recognized a need for better focus of Lake Tahoe, and she and the director at the time decided to create an interdisciplinary interagency group that focused in on Lake Tahoe, so that we weren't looking at Lake Tahoe from a Nevada perspective in our respective silos of wildlife and the state lands, the beach perspective, and those forestry. They created a Tahoe team, which you know, brought all of those disciplines and all of those agencies together to look at Lake Tahoe in a more holistic way. And I think that that's been a very important milestone in looking at natural resource issues in Nevada. And I was recently on a task force and a committee established by Governor Sandoval on sage grouse, and we decided to pursue that format in looking at sage grouse in Nevada and throughout the West, which is probably the next big issue, natural resource issue for not only Nevada but for 11 Western states. But we recognize the success that we've seen at Lake Tahoe with the Tahoe team, and decided to move forward with sage grouse in a similar interdisciplinary way.
For those who don't know what sage grouse is, can you tell us?
Sure. Sage grouse is a large bird that exists in, as I said, 11 Western states. And it lives in the sagebrush steppe habitat throughout Nevada, Wyoming, Utah, Montana, Washington, Oregon, Colorado. And because so much of our sagebrush habitat is being diminished for a variety of reasons. In Nevada, it's primarily due to wildfire. The sage grouse are becoming less and less of a viable species. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will have to make a decision on whether to list the bird as threatened and endangered by 2015. And if it does, it'll resemble, I think, the spotted owl in the Northwest in terms of what restrictions it can make on our public lands and our private lands for economic activity and recreation. So people are taking it very seriously. I should mention it's in California as well, in the northern, northeastern part of California. So people are taking it very seriously for the protection of the bird, but more importantly for protection of our sagebrush habitats.
Great, thanks for the clarification.
Sure.
This is the end of part one in a three-part interview with Alan Biagi. Thank you for listening at TahoeProject.org.